If you have your Bible and you want to turn to Philippians with me, we're in the Philippians chapter 1, and we're really in verse 21, and we're in the second part of To Live is Christ, To Live is Christ, Philippians 1, 21, and right now we're talking about purpose. What is the purpose of life? What's your purpose of life? What's my purpose of life? One time, a Chicago sewer worker, he described his opinion of what the purpose of life is like this. This is what he thought the purpose and the meaning of life was. This is a guy who works in the sewer. He said, I dig the ditch to earn the money, to buy the food, to get the strength, to dig the ditch. That's pretty depressing, right? Somebody needs to tell him that's not the purpose of life, buddy. There's a lot more to it than that. Somebody needs to give him some hope. Now, everybody has a general purpose and an individual purpose. A general purpose and an individual purpose. Your individual purpose is a purpose that's unique to you, and your individual purpose is something that's a little bit different than everybody else. And your individual purpose, like I said this morning, it's similar to the vision that God has for a church. You know, every church will have a different vision. God has a different calling. Your purpose is your calling. And so your purpose in life, your individual purpose in life, is the unique contribution that God has called you to make. Now, what is, if you guys, some of you guys can take a guess, what do you think Lydia's individual purpose is?
Homemaker.
Close. To make me happy. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Nathan. You're absolutely right. Oh, yeah. So that's her individual purpose, and that will change. That's her individual purpose at this season of her life. So it's the unique problem that you're called to solve, the unique void that you're called to fill. That's your individual purpose, and your individual purpose is going to be different than mine. One author wrote that your purpose is your calling, an inner desire given by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God and confirmed through the community of Christ. One pastor said that your purpose is the specific story you were created to tell. So God created you with a story in mind. He has a story for you to tell. And so God has an individual purpose for everybody, but God also has a general purpose for all Christians that we all have in common. And that's what we talked about last week and this week. That general purpose that all of us share is worded like this: to live is Christ. That's our general purpose in life. You know, you might also say our general purpose in life is to glorify God. But I like how Paul says it: to live is Christ. See, life is all about Christ. Life is Christ. To live is Christ. And so last week and this week, we're trying to figure out what that means, how to apply that to our lives. And so Philippians 1:21 is the text, and it says, for me, Paul is writing, for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so Paul is saying that the meaning of life is Christ. The purpose of life is Christ. To live is Christ. And so last week, we learned that in order to understand what that means, to live is Christ, we have to understand some things about Christ. We have to understand some things about us. And so last week we looked at Christ, and we learned seven essential truths about Christ. We learned that Christ is, just to review, Christ is the creator of life. Christ is the giver of life. Christ is the giver of new life, the giver of abundant life. Christ is the only way to life. Christ is the judge of life. And Christ lives in the believer. So those are seven essential truths that we have to know about Jesus. Now we're going to talk about us. Seven truths about us that will help us understand what it means that our purpose is to live is Christ. Okay, so number one, to live is Christ means we live first and foremost to honor Christ. To live is Christ, what does that mean? Well, first and foremost, it means that we live first and foremost to honor Christ. And this is seen in the verse right before Philippians 1:21. In verse 20 of Philippians 1, and you'll remember this if you were here for the sermon whenever I talked about the Christian response to suffering. This is what Paul said, Philippians 1:20. He said, my eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now, as always, with all courage, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul was in jail at the time when he wrote the book of Philippians, and he wasn't sure if he was going to be released or if he was going to be put to death. And so Paul said, though, that his eager expectation and hope, his greatest desire, his priority, remember, was not finding relief or getting released. His priority, his primary focus was honoring Christ. It's not that he didn't want to get released. It's not that he didn't want to avoid martyrdom and torture. But Paul's primary focus was to honor Christ, even whenever he was in jail. And so to live as Christ means that in all you do, in good times and bad times, your main purpose is to honor Christ, is to glorify Christ. And that means to show how great God is through your life. That's what it means to honor Christ, or to glorify Christ, to show how great God is through your life, through the way you live. I heard one preacher say, to glorify God or to glorify or to honor Christ means to display the superiority of life in Christ. To display the superior, we live the superior life. If you have life in Christ, you live the superior life, and we're to show that. We're to show that. So you guys know what's going on with Colin Kaepernick and the NFL and everything, and I've been talking about that all week long, and it's so controversial right now, and everybody's talking about it on the news. And personally, what's happening is a lot of these players are refusing to stand for the national anthem. They're kneeling for the national anthem. Personally, I think that the NFL should require them to stand. And the reason why is because whenever those players, let's take Colin Kaepernick, who no longer plays in the NFL right now. As far as I know, he hasn't been re-signed yet. He's struggling to find a new job. But let's take Colin Kaepernick. As soon as Colin Kaepernick puts on that 49ers jersey, then he no longer represents himself. Now he represents the values of the 49ers and of the NFL. And so now it's no longer about making himself look good. It's no longer about attracting people to himself. It's about the organization that he represents. And in the same way, as Christians, when you become a Christian, you put on the Jesus jersey. And so, as a Christian, you're no longer representing yourself and your values and trying to attract people to yourself and trying to make yourself look good. Now that you're wearing the Jesus jersey, your job is to honor Christ. Your job is to show how great Christ is. Right? So that's the first thing that it means when Paul says to live as Christ. We live first and foremost to honor Christ. We're wearing the Jesus jersey, and so we represent Christ. Number two, to live as Christ means we live to serve Christ. We live to serve Christ. This is seen in Paul's words in verses 22 through 26. First, Paul said, if you remember verse 20, 21, he said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And then he explains what he means. Now, if I live on in the flesh, this means fruitful work for me. And I don't know which one I should choose. I'm torn between the two. I long to depart or to die and be with Christ, which is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Since I am persuaded of this, I know I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that because of my coming to you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus may abound. And so Paul is saying that he's torn between two desires. On the one hand, he'd like to die, because if he dies, he gets to immediately be in the presence of Christ and be with Jesus. He doesn't have to face all the pain and the sin in this life. But at the same time, he has the desire to continue to live, because if he continues to live, what's he going to do with his life? He's going to serve the Lord. Specifically, in verses 25 through 26, the focus of his life is going to be working for Christ to help others progress in their faith. The focus of his life is going to be to work for Christ, helping others progress in their faith. So Paul is saying that the purpose of his life, as long as he's still in this earth, the purpose of his life is to serve the Lord. He's here to serve Jesus. And that's the purpose of every Christian, to serve the Lord. You know, at every meal at our house, I don't know about your house, Nathan, it was like this when I was growing up. We had chores, especially after supper time. We had chores. My house growing up, it was table, trash, dishes, floor. There was four of us. My oldest brother, Shannon, was already in college. Well, now the tasks are divided up among the six of the kids. And so at dinner time, after we eat, we go have Bible time. And then it's time for the kids to do chores. And while the kids are doing the chores, Lydia and I escape to the back bedroom. And that's time for us to take a shower and get our PJs on, get ready for the evening. And so since the kids are in here, in there, and in here, and we're back there, the kids are sometimes tempted. Some of the kids, no names, are tempted to goof off and act crazy and to have some fun. And you can hear it from the other room. You can imagine some of these giggles. And so when I hear that from the other room, I'll put on my daddy pants, and I'll come storming in here, and I'll say, "Hey, kids, I love it when you have a good time. I love it when you laugh and you goof off when you act crazy. But right now, it's not goof off time. It's work time." You know, as Christians, I think Jesus would like to tell us, it's not goof-off time. It's work time. As long as you're a Christian on this earth, the purpose of your life is not to have as much fun as you can, not to have as much pleasure as you can. The purpose of your life on this earth is not to goof-off, but to work, to serve the Lord. Amen? It's not goof-off time. We can goof-off when? We can goof-off in heaven all we want, but right now, we're here to serve the Lord, and there's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of lost people around us. Churches need to be built and strengthened. People, disciples need to be made. And so we're here to serve the Lord. Number three, to live as Christ means we live to please Christ. We live to please Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, therefore, and Paul, this is a similar idea as Philippians 1. He says, therefore, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to be pleasing to him. Now, he's not talking about whether we are at home or at Walmart. He's talking, when he says whether we're at home or at away, we looked at this passage last week. He's talking about at home in the body. So whether we're in this life on earth or away, whether we're in heaven with Jesus, our aim is to what? To please Christ. Our aim, our goal, our purpose is to be pleasing to Christ. Our purpose is to please the Lord. When I was in middle school, I was very, very self-conscious. Very, very self-conscious. That means that I was terrified. Y'all look at me. I was terrified of other kids laughing at me and teasing me or not liking me. Terrified. I was very self-conscious. When I was in middle school, I used to use so much hairspray because I wanted every hair to be perfect all day long. And I remember sometimes I had it so perfect and so it was like a helmet on my head. And I remember sometimes the other kids would touch it and like, wow, it's hard, you know. But I really wanted to not be teased and not be laughed at. I wanted to be liked. And I remember one day, I was at Youngsville Middle School, and my mom was driving me to school. And just as I was about to, you know, we were in the little youth, you know, driveway, circle driveway where you drop the kids off in the front of the middle school. And I was about to get out of the car to go to school for the day. And I realized right before I got out, I forgot to put on deodorant. And I panicked. This was horrible because I was at the age where I was starting to stink. And so I knew if I went to school stinking and the other kids smelled me, they would smell me, then I would get the reputation as the stinky boy. And that would stay with me forever. So I just panicked and I started to cry, "Mom, please take me home." And so I was so blessed because my mom took me back home, only 5 minutes away, to put on some deodorant. She saved my life that day. But I was extremely, extremely self-conscious, really, really just wanted to fit in and not didn't make any waves. And then I got saved in middle school. I got saved. And suddenly, I changed. Totally changed. And so now, when I went to school, the summer after I got saved, the next school year, when I went to school, I started intentionally doing things that would cause my classmates to laugh at me and not like me. I mean, the year before, I was terrified of anybody not liking me or laughing at me. Now, I intentionally did things to make them laugh at me and not like me. One of the things I would do is I would carry my Bible around from class to class. So as I would walk from every class, I would have my Bible like this because I wanted kids to know I'm a Christian. And I wanted it to be a conversation starter. And I wanted to talk to them about Jesus. And also, I wanted them to know where I stood because I didn't want anybody to try to tempt me to do anything wrong. Or if they were going to talk about bad stuff, they would know, don't talk about bad stuff around him. He's not interested. Another thing that I would do is I would wear these bold Christian t-shirts. And so the t-shirts would say things about Jesus, like Christ is life and Jesus is the answer and real men love Jesus and stuff like that. And, you know, before I got saved, I didn't want to be noticed. And so I would never want to give a speech in class or read something out loud. If the teacher would say, does anybody want to read their paper out loud? I would never want to read my stuff out loud to the whole class. But after I got saved, suddenly, anytime the teacher gave us a writing assignment, I loved it because I would try to find a way to incorporate the gospel into my writing assignment. And then, when it would come time for class, the teacher would say, hey, does anybody want to read out loud? Nobody would raise their hand except for me. Nobody wanted to do that. I would raise my hand, and I'm sure the teacher would roll her eyes, thinking, oh, goodness, here we go again. And I would just stand up, and I would share the gospel to my class. And one time, I almost got in trouble because we had to write an assignment about an emotion. An emotion. We had to say, I am happy, and then write a poem or a paragraph or something about our emotion. So guess what emotion I chose? Gay. I said, I am gay. And then I used that as an opportunity to talk about homosexuality and the Bible's view on homosexuality and share the gospel through that. So all of a sudden, I'm doing things that would intentionally doing things that would cause my classmates to not like me and to laugh at me, some of them. Now, what changed? What happened to me? Well, when I got saved, I got a new purpose. And my purpose was now to please Christ and not to please people. And when you get that purpose, when you understand that's your purpose in life, man, it totally changes you, doesn't it? Totally changes you. Okay, number four. To live as Christ means we live to obey Christ. We live to obey Christ. We live to do His will. I love this passage, Romans 14, 7 through 9. This is an awesome passage. Paul says, for none of us lives for himself, and no one dies for himself. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and returned to life for this, that he might be Lord over both the dead and the living. Isn't that awesome? So what Paul is saying is that, first of all, he says, we live and we die for the Lord. And he says that we belong to the Lord. In other words, God owns us. We are God's possession. He has a right to tell us what to do. And then he says that Jesus died. And he doesn't talk about died to save us from our sins here. He says Jesus died and returned to life for this, that he might be Lord. Jesus wants to be the boss over your life. You know what the word, that's what the word Lord means. It means master or boss. So Jesus said he died. Paul said that Jesus died to be our boss. And that's what it means to live as Christ. It means that Jesus is our Lord. We live to obey Christ. One of the games that my kids like to play is Simon Says. You ever played Simon Says before? All right, let's see how good you are at Simon Says. Okay, you ready? You remember how to play Simon Says?
It's been a long time.
Well, we play this game quite a bit. And All right. Simon says, touch your head. Simon says, touch your nose. Simon says, touch your elbow. Your elbow. All right. Some people didn't get it. I'm not going to say who. Your elbow. This elbow. This is your shoulder. This is your... Nathan is he's good at this game. Nathan is a literalist when it comes to Simon Says. So to win at Simon Says, you have to be very good at listening to Simon. And you have to be very quick at obeying Simon. Right? If you want to win as a Christian, you got to be very good at listening to Jesus. And you got to be very quick to obey Jesus. If you do that, you win at life. That's what it means to be a Christian. You listen to Jesus and you're quick to obey Jesus. Number five, to live as Christ means we live to love Christ with all of our life. We live to love Christ with all of our life. And this comes from Mark 12:30, the great commandment. One time somebody asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment in the whole Bible? Jesus said, love the Lord your God. Mark 12:30, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. When Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your soul, he's using the Greek word psuche. And it's spelled P-S-Y-C-H-E. It's where we get the words psychic and psycho and psychology and but psuche, and what it means, the word soul, it means life or breath or soul. So when Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your soul, he's saying, love the Lord your God with all your life. All your life. All of it. And with all your breath. Every breath you take. Every moment. And so what Jesus is saying is that we as Christians should not compartmentalize our lives. We should love him with every arena of our lives. Now, I wrote something, and I just want to read it to you. Okay, y'all listen for a second. What does it mean whenever Jesus says, love him with all of your life? This is what it means. Jesus doesn't just want Sunday. He wants every day. He doesn't just want 1 hour a week. He wants every hour of your week. Jesus doesn't just want to be your religion. He wants to be your obsession. He doesn't just want to tithe. He wants every penny you've got. He doesn't just want your prayers. He wants every word you speak and every thought you think. He doesn't just want to be one slice in the pie of your life. He wants to be the filling in every slice. He doesn't just want to be a cross around your neck. He wants you to put your neck on the line for him. He doesn't just want to be a bumper sticker. He wants to sit in the driver's seat of your life. Jesus doesn't just want you to wear a Jesus t-shirt. He wants you to clothe yourself with his character and then give your shirt away for his glory. He doesn't just want to be a part of your life. He wants you to love him with all of your life. Every breath, every word, every movement, every goal, every possession, every thought, every heartbeat, every moment, every day with him, for him, through him, to live as Christ. Number six. So we live to imitate Christ. To live as Christ means we live to imitate Christ. Paul says to live as Christ. That means we live to imitate. You know what it means to imitate? That means to copy. Be a copycat. We're supposed to be a copycat of Jesus. We're supposed to copy him. That's what it means. 1 John 2:6 says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. The Bible says we should live our lives just as Jesus did. That's what it means to be a Christian. So the meaning and the purpose of life is not to be unique or to be different. There's a lot of people these days who want to be different and unique. And what's funny is the more somebody tries to be unique or different, the more they end up fitting into a certain group. So hey, why do you have all those tattoos and piercings? I'm just trying to be unique, just trying to be myself. You look a whole lot like a lot of other, you know, yahoos who are doing the same thing as you. You fit in a group. You look just like a bunch of other people. You look like a copycat of this group. You're not being unique. If you're trying to be unique, something is wrong because you're different. You're the only one of you that there is, and there has ever never been anybody in history just like you. You're the only person like you. So you should never try to be different or have to try to be different or unique. You know, it comes very easy to be different. This past week, we had picture day at FedEx. And everybody was supposed to wear black pants and a black shirt. The black FedEx shirt, black pants. And everybody did, except for me. It was horrible. I showed up to take this picture, and I'm the biggest, tallest dude there. And I'm wearing the black shirt and khaki pants. And I felt just so, so ridiculous. I felt so horrible, and everybody's looking at me. Didn't you get the memo? Didn't you get... I was so proud of myself for wearing the right shirt. And I know I never did get the memo about the pants. I'm going to tell you right now, I never saw that about the pants, and I felt horrible. You know, being different is really easy. Being the same. I'm sorry. Being the same is what's hard. Being different. You should never have to try to be different. And so the meaning of life and the purpose of life is not to try to be different or unique. The purpose of life is to try to imitate Christ. Be like Christ in your character, your conduct, and your convictions. And what's interesting is because you're unique, is if you will focus... Let me have your eyes. Let me have your eyes. Just stop doodling. If you will focus on being like Christ because you're unique, you will be the only person in the world who has ever been like Christ, like you. You ever thought about that? You're very unique. And therefore, if you will imitate Christ, you'll be the only person who's ever imitated Christ the way you imitate Christ. You will uniquely imitate Christ. That's why God made you, to imitate him and to copy him in a way that only you could do that. Lydia tells our kids all the time, she tells the girls, girls, if ever we're in a situation or environment and you don't know how to act, just look at me and act like me. And boys, look at your dad and act like your dad. That's a scary thing for a wife to say, but she says that. And that's what the Bible says for us. If ever we want to know how to act in life, we just look at Jesus and we act like Jesus. That's how we're supposed to behave. That's what it means to live as Christ. And then one more thing, number 7, to live as Christ means we live by faith in Christ. We live by faith in Christ. Galatians 2:20, one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. You notice that? I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And Paul says, I live by faith in the Son of God. What he means is he doesn't put any confidence in his own good works in order to go to heaven. A lot of people think that the purpose and the meaning of life is to try to be as good as you can possibly be to earn your way to heaven. Isn't that true? I mean, a lot of people, that's the meaning of life. You try to be as good as you can possibly be so that hopefully when you die, you can get to heaven. But we know as Christians, that's not the purpose of life. That's not the meaning of life. The purpose and the meaning of life is to put your faith in what Jesus has done for you, not in what you can do for Jesus. A lot of people say that they believe in exercise, but they don't exercise. That means they don't really believe in exercise. They believe that exercise exists. They believe that they agree mentally that exercise is a good thing. But only the people that are actually out there exercising are the ones who believe in exercise. A lot of people say they believe in Jesus, but they don't really believe in Jesus because they're trusting in their good works in order to save them. They're working real hard to be good so that hopefully they can earn their way to heaven. They believe Jesus exists. They believe Jesus died on the cross for their sins, but they're trusting in their own good works. That's not what it means to believe in Jesus. To believe in Jesus means to admit, I can't earn my way to heaven. My good deeds don't mean anything because if I got what I earned, it would be hell. And so instead, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus and what he did for me. That's what it means that we live by faith in the Son of God. So what's the meaning of life? What's the purpose of life? To live is Christ. To live is Christ. We live to honor Christ. We live to serve Christ. We live to please Christ. We live to obey Christ. We live to love Christ with all of our life. We live to imitate Christ. And we live by faith in Christ. Don't miss the meaning of life and the purpose of life. Don't try to find the purpose of life in pleasure, fun, fame, power. Find it in a relationship with Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this word this morning. Thank you so much, Lord, for giving us Philippians 1:21. To live is Christ and to die is gain. What a wonderful, wonderful promise. So clear. Lord, help us to pursue life in Christ, making our lives all about you. Help us not to waste another moment, another day. Help us to stop goofing around, goofing off, and start living for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank y'all for coming tonight. God bless you.